Join the conversation. On Cape Talk.
All right. Did you know that there are currently over 300 accredited neighbourhood watch teams, groups in Cape Town who help act as the eyes and ears in the community? Recently, the City of Cape Town's Safety and Security Directorate hosted the annual Neighbourhood Watch Awards, which acknowledge the very important role that neighbourhood watch groups play in our communities. I'm delighted to say that joining us this morning is Carl Gerbach. Am I pronouncing his name correctly? No. He'll tell me how to pronounce it in just a second. Who is chair of Group Winners Strand Neighbourhood Watch, and also Alderman JP Smith, mayoral committee member, of course, for safety and security at the City of Cape Town. A very good morning to you both. Carl, I'm going to start with you. First of all, would you please tell me how to pronounce your surname?
Good morning. My surname is pronounced Gerbach.
Gerbach.
That's
Gerbach. Good. OK, that's a strong surname. Right. Can you just talk to us, firstly, about the importance of neighbourhood watch groups in Cape Town, and specifically tell us a little bit about the Strand Neighbourhood Watch Group, and congratulations on the award too.
Thank you so much. The Strand Neighbourhood Watch started off a couple of years ago when I joined. We were 13 members. Today we've got a member base of 1,200. We got 200 active patrollers, and the rest is like observer members. And we patrol every day of the year the allocated area that was given to us by the City of Cape Town.
Tell me how long you've been involved for a couple of years now, but what made you want to get involved? What made you, because it's not everybody who would necessarily want to pick up that baton, to be honest, Carl.
Yes, it's well, if you've got the size of our neighborhood watch is of such a nature that you don't patrol every day. We've got a duty roster, and we've divided it up in teams. So we've got 11 teams. So every 11th evening, you're basically on duty. But the reason I've joined is that I grew up in the Strand. I moved away for a couple of years, and to be exact, 22 years. When I came back, I saw that the crime was escalated in our area, and it was not safe to walk around in town, and that bothered me, and I did get involved, and what we're trying to do is to kind of make the area safe for people to walk freely in the streets and the kids play in parks and enjoy the nice scenery and town of Strand. So that's made me join, and I think it's the right cause, and I think it's important for a law-abiding citizen to have the freedom to move easily around in his town.
Sure, sure. Carl, I'm going to bring JP in at this point. Morning, JP. Good to have you with us. Listen, I guess in an ideal world with adequate policing and resources, we might not have a need for neighbourhood watch groups, and that's a very idealistic view. I'm aware of that. But just talk from a City of Cape Town perspective about the contribution that neighbourhood watch groups make in the city, if you would. Morning.
Morning, ma'am. So I think firstly, if you asked me that question 15 years ago, I might have said yes, that the existence of neighborhood watches was a sign that conditions were deteriorating and we were losing the fight against crime, and citizens were stepping forward to help fight the fight in that policing resources in the criminal justice system wasn't able to cope with the level of challenge. Maybe there is an element to that, and if there was a very significant policing deployment, and otherwise you may not have the extent of neighborhood watch involvement that we have. But if you look at countries there where crime is a far less significant factor in communities, there are still active neighborhood watches across the UK and the US and elsewhere. So these are not unknown concepts elsewhere in the world. And I would say, if you ask me, I would say neighborhood watches always need to exist, because they do something completely different. They promote active citizenry.
Mm.
They are an organizational spindle with around which many things happen. They are increasingly multifunctionally trained. Many of the neighborhood watches have asked us for basic life support training and for firefighting training. And they are arranging a whole lot of stuff. Carlinum is a good example of that. In fact, in many ways, this strand is probably close to being the gold standard of neighborhood watches at the moment in the city. They have organized themselves a base station. They have a whole multifunctional range of programs. These programs impact economically, safety-wise, community cohesion-wise. They are a force for good on all levels. And many neighborhood watches do that. They're running community programs. New Horizon Neighborhood Watch is an example of a neighborhood watch that does everything from cleaning the streets to painting out graffiti to organizing events for young people during the holidays to keep them out of trouble to teaching marching and drilling and other disciplines and skills. So they're really a force for good across the city. And there are around 50,000 of these neighborhood watch members in our city. And they get involved with everything from patrolling to monitoring to IT to fundraising for cameras and technology systems. And in some cases, one of the winners this year is a lady who does an incredible amount of effort working very closely with the police to identify and keep track of offenders who appear before the criminal justice system and link together the records kept by different police stations. So they find niches where they do remarkable work across the board.
JP, in light of that broad scope that you were describing, what level of financial support are you able to give them as local government? I know that there was a figure of 5.6 million that was mentioned earlier this year from the city. How is a figure like that broken down? And is that the amount, or is that how does that work?
Well, I wish that figure could be 20 million.
Sure.
But I will tell you, neighborhood watches obviously find themselves in very different financial circumstances. You have a neighborhood watch like Carlinum who basically asks the city for nothing. They raise their own funds, they generate their own resources, they mobilize themselves. But maybe the strand permits them as a community to do that more effectively. There are other communities who are far more dependent on the city for jackets, torches, bicycles, whistles. We try and help with containers or access to city facilities for watch rooms. We assist with CCTV rollouts, which the community monitor in localized CCTV control rooms. And some of the councillors add handsomely to the budget that the Safety and Security Directorate rolls out from their ward allocation budgets. Every ward councillor has a ward allocation budget that in consultation with the ward committee and the community they must allocate. And that ward committee budget means that neighborhood watches can sometimes get things like additional bicycles or electric bicycles or drones or body cams and all manner of equipment. And they're getting more and more creative with what they're driving and how they're using it and how they're making an impact. So, yes, we assist them a fair bit. I'm not aware of any other cities that have anything like this kind of support and assistance program. And nor is there another fraternity in South Africa like this neighborhood watch fraternity. It's quite extraordinary and very much unique to Cape Town. And they definitely add value. You can see that reflected in the property crime stats where neighborhood watches are active.
I'm going to go back to you, Carl. Thanks, JP. Carl, for you as a member of the Strand Neighborhood Watch, what are some of your biggest challenges? Talk to us about crime in your area. What are the things that give you as a group your biggest headache, your biggest challenge?
The theft. We're working closely with a different variety of people to try and curb that. And the other thing is obviously on our bin days. You've got nowadays a lot of bin scratches that going around. Lots of people are saying, yeah, they help recycling. Other people say they're messing in the streets. But among those bin scratches, there are opportunists walking around, and we can see it in our crime stats because on those bin days, the crimes go up in our area. So that's I think, our biggest challenges. And during nighttime, people wandering the streets, looking around for certain stuff to pick off the streets, to pick up and go and sell a scrap metal or whatever. But that's also an opportunist that comes in your area, and you need to attend to that. But that is our biggest challenges.
We're heading into the festive season. Does that create an added headache for you? Do you find that instances of crime go up in that regard? And also, I suppose my second question would be, how do you feel received by your neighbourhood? Do you what sort of feedback do you get from your local community about your presence in the area?
Okay, I'm first going to talk about the feedback of the community. I kind of managed throughout the year, I have two observer meetings in our facility. Then the people come in and I show them crime patterns and we have a nice chat and show them video clips and stuff that we've got and how crime shifts and what areas and what they must look at and give some safety tips. But I also get a lot of feedback from them and a lot of our community members, they will phone into our control center and actually with that, they the eyes and the ears, so we know where the crime are. But coming to the festive season in Strand is every year a nightmare. Just because of the vast amount of people coming to our beaches, and with that comes drugs, alcohol, a lot of alcohol. And I know the law enforcement people, they've got their hands full and they can't be everywhere. I mean, you can think for yourself, if there's 100,000 people on the beach and there's 12 law enforcement officers, you outnumbered. So festive seasons is a nightmare, especially when there's no wind and it's a nice day. But yeah, we're trying and we're setting up a JOC this year again. A JOC is a joint operation center where everybody can talk to everybody and disperse people to the right places. And all the role players are involved there. That's now from security companies, Neighborhood Watch, law enforcement, South African Police Service, traffic, NSRI, Lifesavers. Everybody is involved there. So we're trying to make it easier on the law abiding citizens that come and enjoy the day at the beach.
Yeah.
But normally festive seasons a nightmare.
No, I can imagine. Carl, thanks very much indeed for joining us. Congratulations to you and the rest of your team on your award at the Neighbourhood Watch Awards. Do keep up the good work, as it were. We wish you, as far as possible, a peaceful festive season, although by the sounds of it, and obviously now that all restrictions have been lifted, it's probably going to return to the busyness that we've seen, that we see traditionally in the area. But try and have a relaxing festive season, will you? Chairman of Strand Neighbourhood Watch and the group winner of the Neighbourhood Watch Awards, Carl Herbach, talking to us this morning alongside JP Smith, MACO member for Safety and Security.